You are listening to the 2-Minute Time Warp, 120 seconds of concentrated commentary, because we're all in a hurry.
Hi, I'm Chip, and this is 2MTL number 305. In the World Fantasy Award-winning comic The Sandman, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Neil Gaiman wrote, "The price of getting what you want is getting what you once wanted." I couldn't help thinking that as I watched Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, the long-awaited paean to the good old days of Doctor Who in the 80s, when the dimensionally transcendent TARDIS interior was as compelling a setting as any destination the police box could travel to. At least, that was the intent. Instead, reflecting the jumbled mess that was Stephen Thompson's script, one less successful than the widely lampooned Curse of the Black Spot, we are presented with a vision of the TARDIS that might as well have been generated from one of those old-school Dungeons & Dragons random encounter tables. There's the swimming pool, there's a big library, there's an Eye of Harmony reactor room thingy that has no discernible negative effect upon radiation exposure up until the precise moment you turn into a time zombie. Knowing that the TARDIS is more than just a control room does help make the character's experience more believable. We can infer a washroom, we can imagine poor Rory and Amy's bunk beds. But that moment of seeing the swimming pool through a doorway was so humdrum compared to the River Song diving gag in Day of the Moon. The TARDIS was so much greater and wilder in my imagination. Now, our less whimsical, more traditionally sciencey control room has been melded with random, specifically rendered environments. I have to conclude that there is a wisdom, then, to treating the TARDIS as a genre machine, in Matt Hill's words, rather than a setting to itself. With so much hinging upon the TARDIS itself, it should be no surprise that there was little else for me to grasp to make me love this story. Not the problematic portrayal of the salvage operators that raises class and race issues that I'll try to get into more properly next time. Not the big friendly reset button ending. I'm tempted to duplicate the prop and turn it into a light fixture just so I can hang a lampshade on it. Not even the performances of Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman, who I'm tempted to name the best companion actor of the entire new series. One redeeming element was that the Doctor comes clean to Clara, and they're finally on the same page about why he's been pursuing her as a companion. But the status quo becoming less, arguably, creepy does not a successful episode make. This episode wasn't awful, but so far it's my least favorite of Series 7. But hey, on a brighter note, there are many more positive episodes of 2-Minute Time Lord at twominutetimelord.com. You can find more episodes on iTunes, reviews are always nice, Facebook and Twitter, numeral 2-Minute Time Lord. Thanks for listening, back soon.